The following Daf Yomi recording begins with today's Daf from the 13th International Cycle. It's followed by a very fast review of the Daf that allows you to listen to the whole Daf within 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by exactly the same Daf at greater length, deeper explanations, and with a different group of people, either from the previous 12th cycle or even the 11th, and sometimes even the 10th. Today's Daf in Masechet Beitzah, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is Daf Yudalad. We're holding at the Helika Mishnah. Beit Shammai Omrim Tavlin Nidochim B'Madoch Shal Eitz, V'Hamelach B'Pach U'V'Eitz HaParun. So Beit Shammai says Tavlin, and we'll see that Tavlin we are more makel on for a number of reasons, but Tavlin, you really can't grind Tavlin the day before Yontov because they need to be fresh. Usually, yeah, spices need to be fresh and they lose some of their taste if they're done the day before. Nonetheless, there should be a small shinui if you're going to be grinding them on Yontav, and that is you can use a normal mortar and pestle that is made not out of the normal thing. It's normally made out of stone, but you can use one that's made out of wood. Melach, on the other hand, which could certainly be ground up the day before, we're talking about sea salt, which is like a hard piece, and over there, there's absolutely nothing lost in grinding up melach before, and therefore, for melach, for salt, you should make a large shinui, and you're only allowed to grind it up in a pach, in a tin can, or in an eitz haparur. You could take a large, one of those large wooden spoons. Tavlin, you need to make no shinui whatsoever. And they could be nidochin kidarkan, even in a mortar that's made out of even. And melach, although you do have to make a shinui, but it's not as big a shinui as Beit Shammai claims, it would be sufficient to do the melach in what Beit Shammai allows the tavlin. So that you could use a madoch shel eitz, and that's sufficient shinui. Okay, but it seems clear, says the Gemara, that when it comes to grinding salt, you do need a shinui. That's for sure. You need a major shinui, much more than the tavlin, if you need a tavlin at all, a shinui. Why is that? My time, huh? So there are two reasons that are preferred. Rav Huna offers one, and Rav Chista the other. Rav Huna for Rav Chista. Kadamber. So one says, look, there's no question. You know darn well that whatever it is that you are going to cook on Yontav, it's going to need salt. So why didn't you prepare the salt before? But therefore, you're going to be in a position where you need to have salt. You're going to have to make a shinui. But ein kol hakederot tzrichot tavlin, as far as what it is you're going to, you don't know exactly whether you're going to need tavlin tomorrow. Because of that, we don't expect you to get the tavlin ready from Erev Yontav.
But in spices in the cooking rather than just in the eating?
Yeah. As opposed to what, like?
Just at the end of the meal, you just put on your... I mean, during the meal, you season it.
You do? Okay, that's the same thing. I mean, seasoning a salad, you're not sure what kind of salad you're going to have. So the other man, the Omer, says, that's it, the point. The point is, tavlin, you can't do the day before, because kol tavlin mefigin ta'aman. The spices are going to lose some of their spiciness, because of that you want them to be fresh. Whereas melach einam mefiga ta'aman. And there's a practical difference between these two shitot, my benai. Well, for instance, suppose you knew what you were going to cook. So you can now get a mic at boiler vashule. So then, if you knew, according to the Mandiyama, says the problem is you don't know what to prepare in this case, you didn't know what to prepare. Or another difference could be in crocus, murika, where over there it does not lose its taste, even if it's prepared the day before. In which case, we would have to treat, according to that Mandiyama, the murika as melach. Omer, if you don't mashmu. Look, I don't know what this is all about. You're allowed to grind things if they're the type of things not literally ground, but they're crushed in a mortar and pestle. Those things you can do, even salt, you're allowed to do that. What do you mean? What's going on over here? The Mishnah says not like that. Well, he argues on everybody. How did he come to do that? Ahmed Melach Boishinu. Ah, he has a different Tana. Who the Omakiai Tana, the Tanya. Rabbi Meir says it is wrong to think that there's a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about this issue. Lo nechlaku Beit Shammai u Beit Hillel al nidochin, things that are pounded, the nidochin kidarkan, and if you want to put salt in together with the tavla, you know, they make like this garlic and salt, you know, these salts that have to have the tavlin built into the salt. So over there, you're even allowed to grind the whole thing together. You grind the, not, I should stop saying grind, you pound the melach together with the tavlin. The machloket is only where you have melach on its own. Over there you have the machloket where Beit Shammai is saying melach bepach uveitza parur, and how much? Let's see, only a little bit. As we saw, the amount of salt that's required for tzli is much less than required for kedera, which has to be completely covered in a lot of salt to take out the blood for tzli. You don't have to take out the blood. Well, you could use anything at all. What do you mean anything at all? I mean, certainly you can't use something that's mukzah, can you? I mean, lechol davar sakadaitach. I mean, lechol davar. In other words, you can use for anything that you want. You can use it even for a kedera, which was even a lot. But what we're talking about is kedarka, like we said. In other words, we never changed our mind about whether it's kedarka or not. So Rav Acha bar Delo said to his son, yes, it's true. And Beit Hillel really did say that. However, you can still make a shinui in the way in which you use it, even if you don't make a shinui in what you're using and in the amount that you're using. So I'll tell you what to do. And this is how we pask. If you're going to be pounding, turn it on its side a little bit. Don't pound directly, bang, 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 into the mortar. But what you do is you pound along the side a little. And that way it's just a shinui, a small shinui. So atzli vedoch. Bend to your side and pound. Now Rav Sheshet once heard somebody pounding on Yontif. So he heard the call Buchna. He said, well, I can tell you that's not from my house, because if it would be, they'd be shot dead by the automatic guns. And I told everybody they're not allowed to do that. So it's for sure not from my house. I love Migavei de Beitoyu. What do you mean? I mean, I thought you're allowed to pound you, as long as you pound by putting it on the side a little bit, right? So how did he know it's not from his house? But no, you can tell the difference in what it sounds like. If somebody's pounding directly, then it's a very clear bell sound. If somebody's careful to hit along the side, it doesn't sound the same. So therefore, Shamed David Solil Kale, he heard a clear sound, and therefore he knew it couldn't be from his house. But wait a minute. But the only din of a shinui was on salt. Maybe it was somebody who was pounding fresh spices, and therefore it would have had a tzolil kali anyway. So why was he so sure it was not from his house? V'dilma tavlin havi? No, because there's a different sound when crushing tavlin, because there's little seeds that give like a little sharp bark when you break them. And therefore, tavlin nabuchim and abeach kalari. He didn't hear any of that. He just heard banging. Tana Rabban, ein osin tisni, v'ein kochin b'machtashim. Now, this is a self-contradictory statement, as the Gemara is about to point out. You're not allowed to make tisni. Tisni is a very complex cereal where each grain of wheat is split into four pieces. Normal cereal, you know, two-piece cereal, or just a crushed wheat cereal, like wheat flakes, like we would have, you know. But this is banged on until it separates into four parts. So it's a thin type of cereal. And then it says, and you're not allowed to use a machteshet. Now, I mean, if you say you can't make tisni, you're telling me you can make normal cereal. But the way you would make normal cereal would be to bang it in a machteshet. Ask the Gemara Tarte. I mean, it's very nice to say two things that say the exact opposite of each other, all within three words. How did you manage that? Tarte? No, what he's saying is one thing. Ma tam eino sim tisni. You know why you can't make tisni? Because you don't use a machteshe. Fishein kochim a machteshe. Oh, that's a brilliant explanation. All you need to say is, you're not allowed to use a Makhtesha. You don't make this name because, and here's the important thing, you don't use a Makhtesha. So tell me, you don't use a Makhtesha. Ah, because you see, if you just would have said, I would have thought that means you can't use the normal large mortar. Maybe you could. Therefore, Gamash Malan, therefore, comes along to say, Enositisni, at all, because you can't make any type of Makhteshet. And there'd be no way to do that if you weren't using a Makhteshet. It's too hard to make Tisni that way. So, Mamela Kamashma, you can't use even a Makhteshet Ktana. Well, it's also a brilliant shot, except for the fact that it says you are allowed to use a Makhteshet Ktana. Vatanya and Abraita, Ein Kochime Makhteshet Gdola, Ava Kochime Makhteshet Ktana. So now we're back where we started from. Omar Abaye, well, that's what it means. Itani Nami Matnitim, we said. B'machteshet, it meant b'machteshet gdola. It's two different halachas. It's not enosin tisni, mipnei she'ein. It's two different things. You can't make tisni at all, even in a machteshet ktana. Why? Too much trouble to bang that much on each grain that it's separated into four parts. However, to make normal cereal, so that you can, but you can't use a large machteshet. You lose a shemal machteshet, so that makes sense. It's two different dinim, and there's no reason to view them as contradictory. So, Kitanya, I'm not needing B'machtashik Dola Tanya. Rava says, look, we can say exactly what we said. You cannot make Tisni because there's no way to do it since you're not allowed to use any Machtashik, even a Ktana. And how do I explain the Braita that says you can use a Ktana? That is the difference of locale, Lokasha, Halan, V'Halahu. For us in Bavel. So, Rashi and many of the other Rishonim learn. The Avodim being Mizalzel, you tell them they can use a Makhteshet Ktana. They obviously, we use a Makhteshet Ktana, and they tell you we use the Makhteshet Ktana. So you can't be Matir halfway. But Mamasha Enkin, in Bava, we don't have Avodim. In Eretz Yisrael, they always have the Filipinos. So that is Allahu, actually. But others learn, including the Raven understands, that the difference, specifically Bava, nothing to do with having avodim. It has to do with the type of food they used to eat. Remember that for them, the main food was, they used to make fun of the Bavlim, that they eat bread with cereal. Everything is cereal. So even a bread with cereal. So in other words, that idea of, for them, where the shinui of using a Makhteshet Ktana is really a great shinui, because they're constantly banging the Makhteshet Ktana. There, for them, it's okay. Because they view that as a shinui gadol. But for us, that's the way we would normally make it to a male. You can't use a Makhteshet Ktana. We're going to do a very different shot. Rav Papi once came to visit Mar Shmuel on Yom Tov. And they bring him, of course, cereal. What else do you bring him, Baba? So they bring him cereal, and he refused to eat it. He didn't hold it a kashrus. But why didn't he eat it? I mean, why should he be chesha that it wasn't kosher to eat on Yantav? Maybe it was made in a Makhteshet Ktana Avduah. Because the Chazya David Dayek Tfei, he saw that it was very well crushed, and he knew perfectly well that the only way you could do that is by using a Makhteshet Gdola. Yeah, but I mean, so what? Maybe they made it yesterday. So the Dilman made it Mal Avduah. No, the Chazya David Kol of Tzare. He saw that it looked at, with that bright color where you just crush it, hasn't had time yet to oxidize it all, and it's fresh. It was freshly crushed, and it was crushed in such a way that is not reasonable to achieve in a Makhteshet Ktana. Well, you know what? It could be that he held of the Halan v'Halahu, and he held that in Shmuel's house there were so many Avodim that for all intents and purposes you got to treat it like Eretz Yisrael. So because of that, he had to be machmer, and he held it was ika pritzuta da'avde, that there was no way to rely that it was made in a Makhteshet Ktana. And now we have one of our last pre-Pesach Richie renditions of a Russian...
I'm not ready for this.
I know, but I figured you've been busy with the chometz. And not bad for not being ready, Rich. Haborer kitniot b'yom tov. Okay, that is as far as pounding. How about making sure that it's clean? I mean, you've got rice or other types of kitniot, and normally there's little pieces of dirt in there and so on. How do you do that on Yom Tov? Now, certainly you could have done that before, so you're going to have to make a big shinui. So what do you do? Beit Shammai Omrim, look, all you're allowed to do is your borer, a little bit of food, and you eat it on the spot. You can't make a lot at a time. So borer ochel v'ochel. Beit Hillel Omrim, borer kedarko. You can even do normally whatever would be the way you would normally borer. And you can put it even becheko, bekanon, betamcho, or rather, the kanon, remember, was that tube type of thing that comes to a small hole. And a tamcho is a large bowl. But you can't use mamash, a tabla, which is like a whole table type of thing. And you can't use a sifter or a sieve. That would be mamash the way you would do it becho. You can even pour water on top of the rice, let all of the junk float up to the top, and then skim it. Sholeh means to skim the top off. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, this whole halacha that Beit Hillel is matir, even kedarka, which would mean to literally take out psolet, which is really borer, that's dafka, kisha'ocha, meruba, hala psolet. That's where you've got more of the food stuff than the psolet, so therefore it's easier to take out the psolet. But if you've got psolet meruba ala ocho, if you've got more junk than you have food, then everybody is made it. That in that case you don't do the tircha. There Beit Hillel would also have said you have to be no tircha da ocho and leave the psolet behind. Wait, hold on a second. Psolet meruba ala ocho. And if you've got more psolet than ocho, it should be muktza. You're not even allowed. Many argue on this, but this is how Rashi learns. There are many shittas who hold it. Ochlin can't become muktza. I mean, just because you have a rove of psola doesn't make the thing that you want muktza. But this is how Rashi learns it. So mebela, how would anybody be matur doing anything with it? Stam, it's muktza. The ochlin are bottle to the mess in here. No. We don't mean more in amount. We mean more in trouble. In other words, let's say you have large pieces of ocha and a lot of small little pieces of psolet. So then it's very hard to take out the psolet. You've been doing five times as much work. Yeah, much more ocha. I mean, you may have like 99% ocha, but nonetheless, the amount of psolet you got in tiny pieces. Well, you could take a tweezer, you could take it out. I mean, so okay, over there, that's what we're talking about. Nafish betircha. Meruba means more tircha. But less in terms of the amount, zutar b'shiura. Rabbi Gamliel says, you can be mediach, and then you can skim off the psolet. Tanya Omer Rebbeloz Barbit Sadok, kach haya min hagan shabet Rabbi Gamliel. In Rabbi Gamliel's home, they used to bring a large bucketful of adashim and pour water over it, and that would leave the clean adashim on the bottom with all of the dirt floating up to the top. V'atanya ipcha, there's a braita that says that would leave all the dirt on the bottom and the ochel on top. I don't understand. Well, obviously there's two different types of borer. There's borer from literal dirt. Now that, as everybody knows, you put water in and then all the dirt's on the bottom. So you take off the top and you put in another bucket and then you can do putting the water on and then the light things float up to the top like that. You know, so there's no contradiction. Depends what you're cleaning. The afra, the gili, gili refer to the little pieces of straw that's in there. That was a moment respite for Richie to gather together his energies and to give us another resounding.
Zuch.
Zuch.
There's no.
It's a giver.
Zuch.
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 No, that's the Russian pronunciation. They always get some. Still Russian, but not. At least it's still Yiddish. Beit Shammai Omrim.
Through my boots.
En mishalchin b'yom tov, ela manot. If you're going to be sending people gifts on Yom Tov, it has to be something that is ra'ui to eat on Yom Tov. So you could send steak, you know, you could send fish that's ready to eat, but not things that the people are not going to prepare on Yom Tov. Ubeit Hillel Omrim, you can even send live animals. I don't care if it's in Behima. Chaya v'of, live, shachut. People can prepare it on Yom Tov. And you can b'sholeach yeinot, shmonim, silatot, even kitniot, but not tvuah, because how are they going to have tvuah? You're not going to be able to grind up today. You're not going to be able to turn it into flour today, because that should have been done yesterday. So memela, the only thing that's a problem are things that will be usur to prepare on Yom Tov. And Rabbi Shimon is matir even b'tvuah, because who's to say that the only thing you can use tvuah for is making bread? Can't you use tvuah for making soup or something, or a tafshil, or a kugel, whatever? So in the mail you could send even tvuah. Tony Rabbi Yechiel, the idea over here is that it should not look as if these things are for commercial processes. So if you're sending, even if you're sending those kind of things, you can't send a shura, you can't send a long line of people that are carrying things because it looks like they're on their way to the market. So, lo yasenu b'shura. And what is a shura? Tana, ein shura, p'chuta mishlosha b'nei adam. Three people means a shura. Boy, Ravashi, but how about three people, each one carrying something else? I mean, is the issue that people see the number of individuals that are walking, or they see the amount that you're carrying, which looks like it's going to the shuk? My, take it. Rabbi Shimon is matir b'tvuah, says Rabbi Shimon, as it says in the Braita, Rabbi Shimon matir b'tvuah, for instance. I mean, couldn't you be sending chitim to make that good ludiot, which is a kugel made out of chitim? And you can send sorin. I mean, maybe sorin is going to feed to his animal. It's a delicious barley food. Adashim, to make resisin, which is a type of raw dashim thing that you make. You don't have to grind them. And back to Richie once again. He's having a hard time falling asleep, isn't he?
I'm
going to
bite my head.
Look, I mean, if it keeps going like this, I'm going to have to get paid for this.
No, the president's going to sue you if it goes any further. And you can send clothes on Yom Tov. Even clothes that are not sewn. That's weird. What are you going to do with that? We'll talk about. So, ben tefurin, ben shenan tefurin. You know, you could even send material that has kelayim in it. What are you going to do with kelayim? Also, Gemara will ask. Only, of course, if they're litzorach hamo'ed. But you cannot send a cleated sneaker, a sandala misumar, because they made an iser to use cleated sneakers on Yom Tov. V'lo min al she'eno tefur. And you cannot use a shoe that has not yet been sewed, so obviously it's no way to use it as a shoe. Rabbi Yudaimer, even if it has been sewed, but it has been dyed yet, you're not going to use it. So af lo min alavan, because you need to get an oman to do the dyeing. And basically the rule is, if it's something that people will be able to use for Yom Tov, so then you're allowed to send it as a gift on Yom Tov. Now, I understand clothing that are sewed are useful for clothing. I do not understand how clothing unsewed are useful. Well, I could say that would be good for covering you, but kelayim? What are you going to do with kelayim? You can't even use it as a blanket. So kelayim l'maychazu. And maybe you'll tell me, well, I could always use it as a blanket to sit on, not to cover. But it says in the Braita, it says in the Pasuk that a beged kelayim sha'at neiz lo ya'ale alecha, which means don't put it over you. You might think that it's mutar la'alocha, that it's ata yachol otziya tachtecha. That's true, mini Raita. You are allowed to be matziya tachtecha. Aval amru chachamim asur la'asot ken. The Chachomim asked you to even sit on it because Shematecharech lo nimal b'saro, a little piece of material may get on you and you'll be nene from that. But Mimela, we don't allow you to use kelayim even beneath you. So maybe you'll say, okay, fine, but you put it on the chair and then you take a plastic bag, you cover it with a plastic bag, and that way at least you have a soft chair and there's no chashash of having a piece on you because you got a plastic bag over it. Maybe that's how you'll understand the mission. Even that you're not allowed to do. For chite ben amafsik bini bini bini. Om Reb Shimon ben Paz, Yom Reb Yishu ben Levi, Omar Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, Omar Rebbe, quoting the Kehila Kadisha de Yerushalayim, afilu eser matzaot zo agabizu v'kavayim tachteyim, asu lishon aleihem. Even if you've got 10 separate blankets covering these kelayim on the bottom, you're not allowed to sleep on the top one. So forget. So now, therefore, that cannot be the solution either. So explain to me, what would a person do with a gift of kelayim on Yom Tov? Ela bivilon. You can use it for a vilon and, to make a mechitza, to put in front of a window. So you can always use a nice piece of material. Why not? Why not? I thought Ula said, why do we say that a vilon is considered to be mekabel tuma, and it's not considered to be a mechitza of a house, and not be mekabel tuma? Because hashamash mitchamim kenegdo, when you have the meltzar serving you, you know, so he's sitting there, and it's freezing, so he basically cuddles up next to the vilon, you know, warms it, gets a little warmer. But meanwhile, she has a din of a beggar. So again, it's a problem. Then you're not allowed to make it out of kelayim. All right. And you know what it's talking about when it says kelayim? It's talking about a Borsellino hat, which is so hard that you can't get any pleasure out of it. So therefore, it's not considered to be an Isser kelayim. Got it from the Breder of Yeshua. The Namta Gamda, I said they had this felt, thick felt beggar, which is the equivalent of a hat, in the town of Narash, and it was always made with kelayim. It's mutter, even to sit on it, because it provides you with nothing but the equivalent of a piece of cardboard between you and the chair. It doesn't give you any type of value for the material. Omer of Papa, another thing that doesn't have a problem with kelayim is ardalayim. Of course, ardalayim, based on this sugya, became Ben Yehuda's word for
galoshes.
Galoshes, exactly. But it's not really galoshes, because over here, as Rashi brings, the ardalayim is actually, although not everybody agrees with Rashi's approach, but in the Tshuvas HaGa'enim, it says that ardalayim are worn as a warmer that protects you, it does protect you from the elements, but it's worn under the leather, under your shoe, and it has a leather piece under it, and thick wool at the sole. And over there, it's also not osur mishum kelayim, because it's made out of very tough felt material, and there's no problem of kelayim with that either. Well, Amar Rava, the same thing is true of Steve packs that you wear as a fanny pack or something. Sahani, serare, the pshite, if they're used for keeping money in, or money always gets it hard. You know, because there's oils on it, if you take a look at the material after a while, it becomes very tough. And therefore, it becomes the equivalent of a Borsellino hat. And therefore, there's no problem of kelayim. However, if it's a Steve pack that's used for, let's say, munchies, you know, I can't imagine who would put like things like chocolate and stuff like that in a Steve. But suppose they do. So if it was for Barzine, it's amazing how close to home these things can get, right? So Barzine, yesh...
Sure.
Yesh, but...
It's playing for Pesach.
Mishum kilayim. Rav Ashi Amar, echad zeh ve'echad zeh ein ben mishum kilayim. Yeah, people don't use fanny packs for heat, you know? It's a wallet, basically. And therefore, ein derech chimum bekach, this is not the mode of wearing kilayim bichlal, and should not be a problem to utilize.
We have to define heat.
Beit Shammai omrim tavrim bidochim bebadoch shel eitz v'melech bepach ube'etz haparur, whereas Beit Hillel omrim no tavlin bidochim kedarkan, even in a madoch shel even melech, every minor shinui madoch shel eitz. Okay, but kulei amon miad melech boi shinui my time, huh? Rekunim revchis tachar amon, look, all kedei lo need melech, why did you do it yesterday? Whereas tavlin ain't kol akederot tzuchot tavlin v'chalama kol atavlin mefigim ta'aman u'melach ain't mefiga ta'aman. My binayu, ika binayu, the yada my kedera boyle v'shula inan b'murika, which is not mefig ta'aman. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel kol anidochin nidochin kedarkan afilu melach. What? It says beferish the Mishnah melach boy shinoi. Who do you make the Tana? The Tanya Omer Rabbi Meir. And only sufficiently, ובית הלל אומרים, בכל דבר, בכל דבר, לכל דבר, even לקדרה. אומר לרווח הברדלה, לברי, כי דייכת, just be עצלי עצלי a bit, and then דוח. רב ששת שמע כל בוכה. אומר, well, definitely not from my house. But maybe it was Tavlin. I thought, Tavlin, you're allowed to. No, Tavlin, you can tell, they sound different. You can't say two contradictions. Just say ein kochi mimachteshet. Because it tani ein kochi mimachteshet ava mina ein kochi mimachteshet meaning a gedola. Mimachteshet tana ema shabedan. Kamash malan that you should know tishni at all you're not going to be able to have. Haiva tanya ein kochi mimachteshet gedola, but you are allowed to be kotesh mimachteshet tana. Omar abaye ki tanya na mimatnita mimachteshet gedola. Tanya. Rava Amar, there's no question. Alon, Valahu, and Eretz Yisrael, too many avadim, and it's not shayach to be making. Rav Papi, equal to Vebar Shmuel and Bovel, and Aitilei Daisa, and he still refused to eat it. Why did he refuse to eat it? Dilma Machtashik Tadavdua? Because he saw that it was Daik Shapir, it looked like it was too well done. So Dilma Meatim Alavdua. No, he could tell it was fresh. Because it was colored tziare, it was like very bright colored. Or you know what? It could be that he held that you cannot be mater even a machteshet ketana, because by beimar shmuel there's so many avodim he could pritzuta da avde. Haborer kitniyo to be yom tov beit shamay omrim borer ochel out of the mess and put it directly to your mouth for ochel beit hillel omrim borer kedarko becheiko. But not with a tavlor, a loaf, or a kevor. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, you can also use water to be made diyad v'sholeh. Tanya Abraham ben Gamliel Bamed, v'rayim Amurim that Beit Hillel was matir, dafka with the ochel is meruba ala psolet, and therefore it says you can even take out the psolet. But with the psolet is meruba ala ochel, so then it'll be mur tircha. Nobody's matir mur tircha, so divra akon no telat ochel. Ask the Gemara, if the psolet is literally meruba ochel, why would anyone be moderate? Miyika banda shori, we don't mean meruba in amount. We mean nefesh betircha. Of course, it's zuter in the shiura. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, af mediach v'shole. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, kach haya minagan shol beit Rabbi Gamliel, shol yom meviim dli melei adashim, ומציפים עליו מים ונמצא אוכל למטה פסולת המעלה הוא. But the brightest is איפה. לא קשה, באפרה רבי גילי. בית שמאי אומרים, אין משלחים ביום טוב, אלא מנות that are ready to eat. בית הלל אומרים, משלחים איבן בהמה, חיה ועוף, בין חיים, בין שחוטים. And you can be משלחים, יינות, שמנים וסלטות, and even kidneyot, but not tfua. Because how are you going to grind up tfua? Rabbi Shimon is matir b'tfua for maybe for a kugel or something. Tani Rabbi Yechiel. Obelvacho yasenu b'shura when you send it. Tani enshura p'chota m'shursha. B'nei Adam. Ravashi, boy. Talata gavra, you carrying talata mini. What would be the take? Rabbi Shimon matir b'tfua. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon matir tfua, because it's like you could send chitim because you could make ludyos. You could send tzairim, people feed that to their animal. You could send adashim to make resisi. Mishalchim kelim ben tefurim ben sheinan tefurim, even if the material has kelayim in it. As long as it's the tzorech hamoed. Avolos adala mesumar, luminal sheino tafur, and Rabbi Yonomer, even not a minal that isn't properly dyed, a minal lavan. If they should tzarech oman, and it's not going to be doable on Yom Tov. Zakra, kosher neotin bo b'yom tov, mishalchin otov. So look, I understand kelim tefurin, obviously you can wear. Even if they're not tefurin, you can use it as a blanket. But kelayim, what are you going to do with kelayim? L'may chazor. V'chitei mechazor l'may machtutei. But it says in the Brayta that you're not allowed to use it even to sit on as a beach blanket. It says in the pasuk, "Beged kelayim shatnis lo ya'aleh alecha." That means Daf cannot put it on you, but you would be allowed to sit on it, except for the unfortunate fact that Amru Chachamim Asur La'asot Ken Shemati Charech L'Animal B'Saro. Now, maybe you'll think that, well, but that's only if you don't put a plastic over it, but if you mafsik mini bini bini, it should be mutter. Problem is that Rabbi Shimon ben Pasi quotes Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who quotes Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul, who quoted Rabbi, who was quoting the Kehila Kadisha of Yerushalayim. You don't want to start up with those guys. But afilu eser matzaot zohar gabizu, v'kilayim tachtehem, it's also l'shon alayim. Ela bevilon, ma'amaru la mipnei ma'amru vilon tameh. Which means you can't use kelayim there either. Now it's talking about bekashim. Adam Ravun, brother of Yeshua, hay namta gamda benarish. Even though it has kelayim in it, it's mutter. Om Rav Papa ardalayin ein behem mishum kelayim. Omar Rava, hani tzrari de pshite ein behem mishum kelayim, but tzrari de bizrani yesh behem mishum kelayim.
I'm about to be ready. Sabah Josh is ready, which means we can proceed.
Zook the Heilige Commissioner.
Boy, oh boy, we haven't heard that in a while in these old years. I've been making do on my own with these recordings. It's been terrible. Maybe that's why I have such an earache. Mm-hmm. So, thank you. So today is Daf Yud Dalet. We're holding it in Mishnah. Beit Shammai Omrim, Tavlin Nidochin B'Madoch Shel Eitz, V'Melach B'Pachu V'Eitz Aporu. Now, Bichlal, we should have a little bit of an introduction. We've already picked up on the idea that things that could have been done before Yontav were not Matir doing on Yontav. L'maisa, in terms of the D'Oraisa Dinim, that's true only about Makshira Yoichol Nefesh. There is Matir completely Yoichol Nefesh. The question is, Makshira Yoichol Nefesh, so those things you can't do unless they become ochel nefesh, because without them you won't be able to eat. Very nice. But lechora, tavlin and melach are mamish ochel nefesh, the things that you're eating. And yet we're going to make a distinction over here about how we do them on yontif, how we grind them on yontif. And the question is why? Because generally with ochel nefesh itself, we're not that makhid. So there are some rishonim that learn, at least that use the lushan, that tavlin and melach themselves are not called ochel nefesh. They're only machshiri ochel nefesh, because you can get along eating food without them. The tavlin melach themselves are not mezainas. They're just there in order to make the food more palatable. So mamela, we treat them like makshiri yachol nefesh. That's a little bit of a problem, because if we treat them mamish like makshiri yachol nefesh, we shouldn't be matter at all doing the grinding on yontif if they could have been done before yontif. Okay? There are many who say that it's not meant that they're literally makshiri yachol nefesh, but they're similar to makshiri yachol nefesh because of this distinction, that they're not literally food, but they're meal for the food. In any event, what we have over here is a machlokas beishami in our Mishnah as to what type of shinui is required when you're doing grinding or pounding, which is generally the way you grind these things, of melach and tavlin. But before we talk about the melach, we should point out that according to Taisus, the melach that we're talking about over here that requires grinding is only sea salt. Those of you who remember the old badat salt. Badat were not makshir any salt for Pesach, except sea salt. Wow. It had to be taken, because you never know, they're boiling at this, who knows, maybe some schmutz falling in, so whatever. So for many years, you had to break your teeth on Pesach, because there was no kosher Pesach salt. The sea salt comes as large chunks of salt filled with rocks. So they actually call it rock salt someplace. And that required pounding. But if you have salt that was processed salt, the way we have salt, we don't use sea salt that much, and then it became hardened together, that's not called salt that requires pounding. It says Taisus, and there's no discussion of that in the Mishnah. So, and that's the way we pass it. So Beit Shammai Omrim Tavlin Nidochin Memadoch Shel Eitz, that if you have spices, the spices require a shinui, but not such a big shinui. So the shinui of the spices is that you use, I always forget, which one is the mortar, which one is the pestle?
The mortar is the one you use.
The mortar is the... Let's talk about a pestle. The madoch is the zohar, the maducha is the nekeva in Hebrew. That's how we distinguish it.
Penis.
Thank you.
The Medusa.
All right, it's a good way to remember.
He's a walking stringer.
Yeah.
Waiting for the punchline.
Right. Okay. So if you use a pestle of wood, which is not really normally what you would use, so that itself is enough of a shinui. But melach requires a greater shinui. Now Rashi has over here the girsa bepach o beitzaporu, which means that you can change either the meducha, the female would be the, instead of using a mortar, you would use a can of some kind, so that's a shinui. Or you can use an eitzaporur. So possibly he may be referring to the eitzaporur also as the meducha, but probably he's referring to the eitzaporur, which is a big soup spoon, to use it as a pounder. Others have the vav that you need to have a shinui in both of them. But in any of either way, the melach requires a greater shinui than the tavlin do. Ubeit Hillel omrim tavlin nidochin kedarkan b'madov shel evin v'hamelach b'madov shel etz. Beit Hillel says you need a shinui really only for melach. For the tavlin, it could be that this is also madov shel evin is could be the word kedarkan. It's a little bit of discussion. What's the difference between saying kedarkan and madov shel evin? But we'll see later on that there are other shinuyim that may be nogeh, in which case kedarkan could mean something else, the way you would normally hold it, or the amount that you would usually make, and so on. But that we'll see later on the sugya. But let's assume right now that the word kedarkan is just being explained by the word madok shel v'madok shel evan. So you use the pesel of evan, so that it's very hard rock, and the melach requires a greater shinui, that you have to use madok shel eitz, but that is this lesser shinui, aliba de Beit Shammai, so that we have a machlokus over here in how much of a shinui of the melach, and whether you need a shinui for tav. Okay, says the Gemara, but lamais, it's clear from the mission that the kuli amam yes melach by shinui. For some reason, everybody, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, both agree that when it comes to the salt, you have to make a shinui. My taima, what's the reason for requiring a shinui? Says Rav Huna v'Rav Chista. One puts it this way, that kol hakederot kulam tzichot melach, ve'im kol hakederot tzichot tavlin. You know that whatever it is you're going to be cooking tomorrow on Erev Yontif, you know that you need salt. Because whatever you make, you need salt. Memela, the salt could certainly have been done before. Tavlin, not every kedera requires the same spice. I mean, some don't require spices at all. So how are you going to grind up all your tavlin? And if you grind up the tavlin before, so then it'll be, they won't have the same pungency. So therefore, the kederas require tavlin. That itself is enough of, don't require the same tavlin. That itself is enough of a reason for us to allow you to do it on Yontif. You couldn't have anticipated precisely what you needed.
It's taken into account that it would lose its edge.
That's a machlokus for Shonim, whether it's taken into account or whether that's a completely different time, as we'll see in a moment, is the other chadama. The shadow is whether it stands entirely on its own. Let's assume, right, because that's the Pasha Sugya, is that it, without taking into account the loss of pungency the first time. Whereas the Chanamar, the other man, the Omar, either Ravuna or Chist, we don't know who said what, is that kol atavlin mefigin ta'aman, v'melach ena mefiga ta'aman. That any type of spice that you would use, if you would have ground it yesterday, you would have lost a little bit of its pungency. Whereas the melach, what would be the problem of doing it yesterday? So memela, the tavlin we allow you to do without a shinui al libra beis hillel, because we don't want you to, it's ochel nefesh mamish, you need that pungency. Ashenki, the melach, you could have done before. My binail, what would be the nafkamina between these two shitas, Ravun and Rav Chista? In a case where a person knows what he's going to be cooking. So there, if he didn't prepare it before, so then it would mean that even Ali B'nai Sol would require a shinui, because then it's the same as the melach. Inami, or it could be the other way around, that it's talking about something like murika. Murika is a type of tavlin that doesn't lose pungency. Tosis explains it can't mean that it doesn't lose pungency at all, because see, that's where, because we always take into consideration some loss of pungency. Klal. Otherwise, why would we be matter it at all? So avada is some loss of pungency. However, it's not going to be something that is a reason for that alone. that we would have been ushering it to do it all. Okay. So it comes out that according to, if you know what it is you're going to cook, so then according to Lishna Kama, you're going to have to do a shinoi because you should have done it yesterday. According to Lishna Basra, you don't need a shinoi. If you know that you're dealing with Morika that's not going to lose its pungency, but you didn't know what you were going to do, so then according to Lishna Basra, you would need a shinoi, and according to Lishna Kama, you wouldn't need a shinoi. So there's a big nafkamina between these two taimim. By the way, it's a very interesting tesis over here. It's in Nageya Bichlal. Many places in which he says that the din of Paskin on the Drabon and Lekula doesn't apply when both taimim have a tzad chomer and a tzad kal. So you don't go according to the taste, to the case. You go according to the overall psak. I can't paskin like the Lishna Kama alone and say, well, since it's Tzavik Drabon, why should we be machmer on the, because I mean, on the other tzad, that's a chumrah. So according to this, you would have to answer both cases, because we'd have to be machmer in both cases. Okay, this is Tzavik Rishitas, and not everybody agrees with that, though we don't look at the particular case. Okay, so that would be the nafkamina. Lemaisa, Omer of Yidu, Omer Shmuel, Kol Anidochi, Nidochi Kedarkan, Vafilu Melach. Amazing. The Amoroim seem to ignore the Mishnah. That anything that requires this crushing, you can crush it normally. Even melach. What do you mean, even melach? I'm at melach b'ayishin, I understand. But he's arguing in the Mishnah. The Udi Omer ki haitam. He's following a brisa. And even though normally we don't paskin like a brisa against a Mishnah, but the Rishonim point out that in this case, since all of the Amoraim, all of the discussion to come revolves around how to understand this brisa, it's clear that this brisa was accepted, that was the halacha, and Tosis brings many of the older Paiskim and the Gainim Paskim like this Brisa against the Mishnah. So that according to Shmuel, you don't require any type, it appears any type of Shinui, because it says Kedarkan. We're going to see whether that's literally true, that Kedarkan means without a Shinui Bechlal, even a Shinui Miut. Because he's following the sheet of Rabbi Bam, Rabbi Meir, Lo Nechiku Bechamio Beitil Alal Nidochich Lidochin Kedarkan, Umelachimahim. There's no question that if you're going to be grinding, you could be grinding your tavlin together with melach at the same time. Now, there's a machlokus over here as to whether that means literally bevasacha or whether it means at the same sitting. And that, the question of that is dependent on what the reason for this is. So if the inyan of, what would be possibly a reason to say it's different if I'm doing it bevasacha? Because if the problem is that I'm cheshish, that maybe I'm going to, if I do it normally, I'll do more than I actually require, because I'm not making any type of shiur. I'm just going to go on and I'll keep it. If I'm doing something that I don't require a lot of, so I have a little bit of tavlin. I certainly don't want to do a lot of tavlin, because then it's going to be mafik time. I only want to have it as much as I need, so it should be completely fresh. So therefore, since I'm going to be zoyer not to do too much on the tavlin, so okay, so already I recognize what I'm doing. I'm doing l'tzara chasuda. I'm not in a manufacturing mode. Ashenkin, if I'm doing the melach alone, then I'm in a mode. Okay, you know, let me do another couple of pounds already once I have the grinder out. So if I do it, even though it's not mamish together, if I do it at the same sitting, I won't come to do too much. If the issue is that this itself is the shinui, then it has to be mamish together. There is it. It's mashma from some of the Rishonim. Mashal learns over here that definitely means only at the same sitting. That's how he understands the Rashi sheet as well. But there is definitely a mashma as a Sham Rishonim, and it means literally at the same time. So it's sort of like they sell now, you know. They sell tavlin salt. I forget what they call it. But, huh? No. Salt, literally, where you have salt mixed. I forgot what they call it. Not fake salt. Salt mixed with various...
seasoned salt.
Yeah, I think like seasoned salt, exactly. Salt. Yeah. Right. Okay, so that itself is what you're doing. So the only machlokas is the ducha b'fnei atzma. So the question of here is if you do it on its own, there b'chaim el rimelach b'pach b'etza parur, and that's only litzli, avalola kedera, that if you're making a little bit of salt, the amount of salt that you require for tzli, because remember, tzli doesn't require salt to take out the blood. It's the heat, the fire that takes out the blood. So you're using the salt only to be makshir, to soften it up or to give it taste. So over there, a little bit of salt, you can use pach reitzaparur. You can use anything you want. What's the difference? Hold up, what is that supposed to mean? Anything you want. I mean, is he being matir even using things that are mukta, and I should use them now for grinding the salt? Alachor, why not? I mean, what's wrong? It's a gufa. You know, it's no different than anything else. I want to take a hammer and use a hammer. Normally, the hammer is mukta. If I want to use it for salt, why can't I use it for salt? I mean, what's the Gemara so amazed at? And especially if you go according to Rabbi Shimon, then there's bechlal no problem. It has all the mukta. We're going to say dafka. Basil is possibly like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Mefarshim said that it's talking about Avir Kol Davar is even things that are clay organ. Things that are expensive, that weavers use. There's various, in Shabbos we had a whole list of various things that are used by Orgim. Over there even Rabbi Shimon is made, and we certainly can't use it the Tzar of Gufa. Something that you're Mekatzeh, specifically to put it aside, is because of Chisar and Kis, or because it's Kavet, other reasons. So even Rabbi Shimon is made that those things are Vadei Mukta, and that was the Gemara was saying. When you say Bechol Dover, the Mashmaut is that you're coming to be Matir Sama for some reason, the Tzarech of the Achil of Malach, that there would be even with something that was osur mitam mukta, that would be an isra filo tzer of gufa. So you mean literally l'chol davar? Ela ima l'chol davar. No. He wasn't referring to what you use, he was referring to what purpose. That according to Beit Shammai, it was only for the purpose of Tzvi, not Likidera. What Beis Hillel is coming to say is it doesn't matter how much you're going to put in. No, he sits over here, sweetheart. You're still welcome. And as far as what do you use, it points out Rashi, it's always like that. That we always continue the first man the Yomar, what it is you want to change, you mentioned that thing. But we already said, lo nech lo elo. So it's clear that he's talking about using whatever you want, not dover shel muksa though. So lichol dover. Omele Ravacha Bardala Livrei. Ravacha Bardala said to his son, ki dayachta atzli atzluyevido. That even though it says over here that it's mutter, but that doesn't mean that it's mamish mutter completely kidarka. It means that you need a small shinui, a shinui zuta. So what should you do? Turn it a little bit, turn the mortar on its edge, and bang on it from the side. That way you can't get the same amount of power behind it. And that's sufficient shinui to be matir. Rib Sheshes, Shoma Kol Buchda. Sheshes was walking through the streets and he heard the sound of a mortar, of a pestle. Actually, I love the gaveda beisoy. That for sure is not coming out of my house because I ostered using a madrech shel evan under any circumstances. And so he was machmer on himself and he didn't want to use a madoch without a shinui. Of course, how does he know it was without a shinui? V'dil matzluy atzli. How did he know it was without a shinui? Maybe it was on its side and then it was with a shinui. It should have been mutter. Because the shaman have it. So call it. He heard that it was the sound of the banging was very clear, which if you hold it on its side, you always end up hitting an edge and therefore ruining the resonance. So it couldn't have been on its edge. No, that can't be. This is a Sherlock Holmes thing here. So he's walking along. That's what he's saying. This is not coming from my house. It's clear. It's clear. But how do you know what's in it?
He heard too bad when he was blind.
That's right. So maybe it was Tavlin. V'dilma Tavlin Havu. Maybe, I mean, it's Mutter, that's for sure. Nobody required a Shinui when it came to the Tavlin. It was only for the Melech. I didn't know it wasn't Tavlin. Tavlin Nevuchim and Aveach Kalayu. The Tavlin, as you hit it, you can hear a scream. It makes a sound as it's opened, which you wouldn't hear with Melech. And again, Sherlock Holmes here has not heard that. And therefore, it's got to be talking about, it's got to be talking about not from my home, because since it's salt, and since it's not, it's actually, there's no way they would have been doing that in my house. So again, we see clearly that they relied on this halacha lamaisa and not on the shinuyim that are in the Mishnah. Okay? Agav, you should know, there are some Rishonim who suggest that this isn't really chelek on the Mishnah, and that there's no nafkamina between a shinui zuter and a shinui. That the shinui that we made in the Mishnah on Liba de Beis Hillel, that using a madach shel eight is not a greater shinui in terms of the halacha than a tzlui etzlui. In which case, it's not. Once you. Right. There's Rashi learns that basically these chumras over here of Atzluya are essentially like Shmuel. Paskin is like Shmuel, that you don't need the shinui that's required in the Mishnah, except, okay, we don't want to say Kedark and Mamish make a little bit of a shinui. But there are others that are learning that no, they're Dafka not going like Shmuel, and that this is sufficient shinui, that it should be Atzluya, not necessarily that you have to change. Either way, in other words, if you want to keep it straight up, so then use a wooden pestle. If you want to use an oven, so then bend it to its side. But you have your choice. it means gentle sloping. Put it on its side a bit. The way to say a bit is to use the word twice in Aramaic. Tana Rabbanan. Ein osim tisni. Now the Braisa says like this. You can't make tisni. Tisni is a type of cereal that they used to eat, which they would take wheat and would pound it so that it splits into four sections. But there were other, we had a number of places that there was a way of just squashing wheat, which was called daisa, which is a modern Hebrew cereal. And then you have a cracked wheat that's only the wheat that's cracked along its crack, so it opens in the middle, but you don't pound it again to smash the sides apart. So tisni is the most difficult of the ways that you'd be, it's a lot of tircha. You have to hit it, yes, and it has to be hit more than once in order to make sure that it splits correctly. So that you can't make. But then it says something very strange, and it says ve'in kochi b'machtasha, which is mashma at all, right? So es l'gemara tarte, I understand, you're saying two things, and the two things are basically contradictory. Because when you say you can't make tisni, the mashmaut is that you can make daisa, which is the squashed wheat, or you can make chilka, which is the wheat that's split into two, and it's dafka tisni because of the actual extra tircha that you're going to have. And then it goes right ahead, ein kochi, which is mashma, you can't be kodesh at all. Hofi kama. Ma tam ein osim tisni. No. It's trying to say it's not two different things. It's saying you can't make tisni. Why? The fish ain't kochim b'machtasha. Come on, I mean, so that's crazy. So then just say ain't kochim b'machtasha. And obviously, I mean, what, you take the worst possible example. You want to take an example? Take an example of something that is even easier to make and tell me I can't do it. It doesn't make sense, that Teretz. You should have just said v'lema ain't kochim b'machtasha. No, because let's say it would have just said ain't kochim b'machtasha. So then I would have thought that means normally having an amin b'machtasha is g'dayla. The way you would take normally a large mortar to grind it. So if you would make a little shinui, you'd use a small machteshet, which is usually used only for tavlin. We need a tiny bit. Well, you need to make cereal. You know what kind of tirch it is. Every time you put it into a little machteshet for tavlin, break a few pieces, go ahead and take another one. So maybe that's the point, and if I'm just doing a katana, and I'm just taking a little bit at the time, so maybe that would be mutter. Therefore, it comes along to say, kamash blun, it comes now to add that ein osim tisni, that's telling you can't make tisni at all. Why? Because ein kochim b'machteshes. Now this machteshes, because of the ratio of ein osim tisni, has got to be even a machteshes katana. So if I say ein osim tisni, it means there's no way you're going to be able to make tisni. Why? Because ein kochim b'machteshes. So, couldn't I make it by using a katana? No. So now I know that the word machteshes that's used in the second part is a reference to any machteshes. So this is a way of letting me know that it means even a machteshes katana. I mean, the price says not like that. But tanya ein kochim b'machteshes g'dayla, avo kochim b'machteshes katana. It says b'feresh that you are allowed to. Omer Abaye, so Abaye says, so then maybe that's the way to understand the Mishnah. Ki tanya nami masnisa b'machteshes g'dayla tanya. In other words, the meaning indeed was a machteshes g'dayla. It's not a matam. It's really two different issues. Saying two different things. First of all, ein osim tisni, period. I don't care what you use, a machteshes g'dayla or a machteshes tanya. Now, if you're talking about other things, you're talking about, let's say, chilka or daisa, so then you could use a machteshes katana, but you can't use a machteshes g'dayla even to do that. Okay? By the way, in all of these cases, there's a standing machlokus between the Rishayna as to whether the problem is uvda d'chol, so that we were misakin that the way to do these things that are not oichol nefesh mamish is to do them, it shouldn't be as if it's not yonta for you. So to do something the way that it's normally done b'chol, we don't want you to do, or whether the problem is that if you use these type of large kalim or large instruments, you might end up being tereach for chol. Then you'll be using your yontif for preparing things for chol, which is us.
Amen.
Sorry? Because we're talking over here about things that should have been done before Yom Tov. You weren't here at the beginning, and that are not Ochzer Kochel Nefesh Mamish, types of Machshiri Ochel Nefesh, because you can eat without. Okay, I don't want to repeat. Omer Abaye, so Kitanya Nami Masnisa, Machteshes Gedela, Tanya. Rav Omer, Rava says, no, the truth is that the right way of understanding it was the way we understood it, l'chatchila. You can't use even a machteshes ktana, and that's what the tisni is coming to be ma'ir. That's why I add in that case, that the meaning of the word machteshes that's used later is to tell me even a machteshes ktana. Aye, what about the braisa that says that you can use a machteshes ktana lokasha? Halan v'alahu. Actually, it depends where you live. So if you live in Bavel, so then there's no problem. You could use even a machteshes ktana for other things. If you live, however, in Eretz Yisrael, then you can't. What would be the reason for that? Rashi says a very strange reason. He says, basically, in Bavel they were poor, so they didn't have people working for them.
In Bavel they were poor?
You have other Rishonim say exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
Okay, but at this
point. They stayed
exactly. It must have been that it was borough part, huh?
Yeah.
It's what happens as the standard of living keeps going up, you get poorer and poorer. But in any event, that's how Rashi learns. They didn't have avodim that were mizalzal. We find, by the way, different kufas. The Gemara says the Raniyim Bavel. That's why. That accounts actually for a different reason, which is the Ravid's reason. But first, I say Rashi. So Rashi learns that if you don't have a chashash, that avodim will be mizalzal and will use the opportunity of using a machteshes to be meich and afilu l'chol, so you have to worry. And then you can use a machteshes tana. But once you give an eved a finger, it'll take a hand, so there we're not going to be matir in machteshes ktana. That's one approach. The Ravid's approach is also assuming that they're poor, right? So he says that because of that, you have in Bavel, there's the Gemara says elsewhere, they used to laugh at the Bavlim that they eat lechem belechem, because they didn't have anything else basically but grains. So they would use different types of grain products to dip their bread in, which to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael seemed a little bit ridiculous. I mean, like, who are you fooling? It has a little bit of a different taste. Maybe you got to really be in desperate straits to be dipping your bread into cereal, you know. But that's the way they would eat. So that means that for them there was a requirement of a lot of fitit. So abusing a machteshes ktana would be a shinui, already in enough big enough shinui in itself. So we remater there using a machteshes ktana. Where over there they had other things to dip, so they generally didn't require that much chita. So over there, machtesh ketana wouldn't be such a shinui. So we weren't saying mechan. That's the Ravid's approach. The Rambam has a completely different approach, according to which the tvua in Eretz Yisrael is a high quality tvua. So therefore, since it's higher quality tvua, so it would be okay to have done this before yant mashenki, because it wouldn't have dried out and so on. And mashenki in Eretz in Bavel, where it's poor quality. So then, in Achinami, you can't expect them to do it before. It won't taste good. So over there, they were matir the machteshes ketana. Yeah. Now, Rav Papi once came to Mar Shmuel's home and isolated daisa. They brought him daisa. Now, daisa is just crushed wheat, basically. He wouldn't eat it. What would be wrong if they did it? I mean, well, he has a right to assume that they did it, but Yisra, I mean, B'stama, they used a machteshes ktana. We said a machteshes ktana is mutter in Bava. No, D'chazia, D'avedayik Tvei. He saw that it was very well ground. Somebody's doing something funny over here. V'dilma me'etzmol avdua. I mean, how do you know you didn't do it yesterday? No. D'chazia, David Koliv Tziare. He saw that it was still nice and white and fresh. After it was done yesterday, it would have been a little bit browned in the place where it was crushed. He didn't feel too good eating in Shmuel's house. V'boyseimor, could be there's another reason. But it's not that he was chayish. Avada, they did it in a machteshes ktana, and there was no chash in him. But he held, shinei be Mar Shmuel, v'ika pitzusa di'avdei. Since Mar Shmuel could afford avada, so he held that it goes according to the case. If l'maisa, there's a chashash of pitzusa di'avdei, that they might use it, the opportunity to go and be mechim l'chol. So he held you shouldn't eat there either. People will learn the wrong lessons. Because everybody asks, how did Mar Shmuel have avadim that were preserved? You're still not explaining the strange fact that Rav Papi wouldn't eat in Rav Shmuel's house. What's the pshat? It's a very strange shita klatzes that says that an aid echad wouldn't be neman to be machshir the eved. So he says, what is that supposed to mean? I mean, what do you mean? Aid echad neman be surim. If Rav Shmuel is giving him to eat, I mean, why can't you rely on him that he? Yeah. So they want a taina that when it comes to relying on something, that's not aidus. Let's say you have a sense that you can rely on a guy. So he's badik lecha. The fact that he's badik lecha doesn't mean that somebody else can rely on what's called badik lecha. So I can't rely on your badik. So to you, you say it's badik. It's low badikly. What am I supposed to do? So the fact that you would eat it is no steer to the fact that I can't eat it. You're relying on something that you can know, and I don't have that. So I can't rely on it. It's very interesting. interesting thing. Because, I mean, it certainly is very nogea.
What if you would go ahead and actually say, be made on the Yemen, then it would then not be
that? How can it be made? What do you know? It's basically a judgment call. This is very nogea. I mean, let's say, it comes up all the time. You have people whose in-laws aren't donkey kosher, whose parents don't keep kosher, and they say they have special kalim for him, and they keep it separate. How does he know they keep it separate anyway? I mean, they're not makbid, so how does he know that they're not going to be over on the thing either? So there's a question of bodikloy. You certainly can't say that there's a cheskas of kashrus over here in Nemonas, but that son-in-law can say to me they're baduki. I'm 100% sure they wouldn't give me something that's so. Therefore, because of that, I walk into the house. I should say that for me they're baduki. I know. You know. Okay, fine. So you rely on what you know. You have a judgment about the issue. I have no sense of judgment on the issue at all. That seems to be what the shita is hinting at over here. But I mean, these type of things really do. Follow in terms of kashrus. It's not shayachet. You can't be made on the kashrus of somebody else.
And this is a source of that.
Others learned that all the shita is saying is that there's a chazoka that Edom or Mezazle, therefore you can't be made. So it doesn't necessarily. There's other approaches to what he's trying to say. But I just felt this is a good place to bring it up because it's a nice way to understand what he's saying.
Just like maybe they have more pachat for their odom than they do for the
get. It could also be. Right? But that isn't what he was saying. But maybe could be that. Into it. It's an interesting story. You're on.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Haberer kitnius biyamtiv. Normally, we know that if you the Yisr of Berer, so there's a number of tnoim that you have to be in order to allow any type of Berer, certainly for Shabbos. We know that we have to, first of all, we have to take out the Ochel from the Pseles. We know that it has to be somuch to the Zman of the Achila. We know that it isn't done the way that you do with the Chol. Various other issues. When it comes to Yontiv, we don't have all of the issues, but nonetheless, says the Mishnah that Beit Shammai says if you're being Bayer kidney is beyontiv. You have to be Bayer Ochel. You take out Dafka the Ochel from the Pseles and you eat it then on the spot. Beis Hillel Omrim, Bayer Kedarko, not true. First of all, you can be Bayer however you want to be Bayer, the way you would normally Bayer. And you can use Cheiko. You can even use your lap. How exactly you're Bayer with your lap? You take your skirt, in those days they wore basically single. You put the kidneys on, hold up your skirt, put the kidneys on it, shake the skirt, and lower it gradually, and then the chitim will fall, being heavier, and the junk, not the chitim, I mean the kidneys, kidneys will fall, and the various junk that's there, or vice versa. Again, we'll see in the Gemara, there's different types of psoilus. You have psoilus of light things, you have psoilus of heavy things. If you have kidneys, you very often have little rocks and things. Okay, so if you shake it up, the rocks will fall out. So, okay, so you can use that as an approach. You can use even a canon. We spoke about the canon before. Canon looks like our cannon, but it's a way to remember it. But it's more like a funnel. In other words, it gets smaller on one end. So again, if you're talking about smaller types of psoles, the psoles will fall out, and what's left behind is the edible, or vice versa, depending on what you're using, obviously. So you can use a kanun, and you can use a tamchoi, which is you spread it out inside of a plate. And have a little bit tabla. You can't use a large tabla, which is a large daf, and then you shake the daf, which is, again, very often used. When we use the car, we do the same thing. You shake it up a little bit, and that separates out the little rocks that are in there. Volobanofa, volobakavari, certainly you can't use a sifter or a sieve. You could do the standard thing, which is what, if you're taking kidneys, it's like what we do for rice. You put it into a bowl, you pour water in it, and then all of the psolet, again, there's two different types of psolet, we'll see, but the heavier psolet will sink to the bottom. If it's dirt, the dirt will go to the bottom. Light things that got mixed in, or bugs, will rise to the surface, and then you know that what you have left behind, you can then be sholeh, you take out what's left behind, and then you took out the eichlin, and you left behind the psolet. Tanya Amar Rabbi Gamliel. Now, wait a second, Omer. We talk about that you should be boirer oichel, specifically. Take the oichel out of the psoles. That's dafka if there's more oichel than there is psoles. But if the psoles is meruba la oichel, so then, divrei hakol, there's no machlokas there, basil beit shammai. Divrei hakol no telos oichel min yechas psoles. Everybody would agree that you have to take out the oichel. Says the Gemara, psoles meruba la oichel mia ikaman de shari. Is anybody matir a case where you have psoles meruba la oichel? Now, the way we have it, see, the Rif's Girsa is different. The Rif's Girsa is Pshita. So then, okay, then I understand. It's a normal question. I mean, obviously, why would anybody be Matir doing the thing that's more problematic? But our Girsa, Tosfos learns, mean, Mi Ika Mandashari, is there anybody who would allow even being Metaltal such a thing because it would be Mukta, since the Ochel would be Batal to the Pselis? Yeah, isn't that? It's a funny kind of, but okay. Yeah, okay. But those are the two gear sauce. I mean, the way the Rif learns it, it flows much better, and it seems to be much more reasonable in terms of the Svara. So nobody would be mad to such a thing. No, he didn't mean literally that there's rov of psolet. But zutter b'shiura, he wasn't talking about there's more psolet. He was talking about that in a case where it's more difficult to you can have times where it's more difficult, not more material. So let's say you have like tiny little things that to take them out. You know, it's easy to take. The ochel is like big chunks, and you have like little rocks or something in between. There you have to pick them out. So there, everybody's mother. You don't go to the extra tircha. There are cases in which the tircha will end up more in one direction than the other. There we're not being, certainly not being matir to go ahead and to be toreach shelo l'tzar. Rabbi Gamliel Amar Atmei Diach v'sholeh. So Tanya Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok Kachia Minagan Shabbat Rabbi Gamliel. Hayomivin Dili Malei Adashim. That's exactly what we do. You take a bucket full of lentils, metzifina alav mai, you pour water of it on it, v'nimtza ochelamato pselasabala, and that way all of the junk floats out, and what you're left with on the bottom is the food. Ivatanya ipcha. It says just the opposite. It says that the ochel is on top and the psel is on the bottom. Lokasha, obviously, haba afra haba gili. I mean, it depends what you're talking about. If you're talking about rocks and dirt that's mixed in with the adashim, so then that settles down to the bottom of the bucket. If you're talking about floatable pieces, insects, kash, things like that, so they float to the top. And then you're shola. It means don't go all the way down to the bottom to take the dirt back up, to take the part that's in the middle. So depending on what it is that you're trying to get rid of, we can use different languages and a different price.
The Heilige Commissioner.
Even behema chayev of ben chayim ben shchutim. So here the question is: can I send somebody something which is not roy to eat now on Yom Tov? Monos, like mishloach monos, important. That is supposed to be something that he can use for his suda. So according to Beit Shammai, we don't send anything that he's not going to be able to actually use for his surah hasuda. Because that, if you do that, again, basically the question does it look as if you're involved in mekach u'memkar? You're sending over something to the thing. What's he sending in that for? It's similar to mekach u'memkar. You're sending him a gift, stamp. It means you're trying to buy his goodwill, basically. You know, so you're not really sharing the Simchas Yantiv. Or others learn that the problem is that if you send him something that isn't Roy on Yantiv, so then Lomaisa, this is, you're now being Tereach in something Shalchol, because it needs that, the work that needs to be done B'chol on it. Or, in other words, the Shaila is like this. If I'm sending him something that is Roy, but he would have to go to Tircha. So let's say he could shech. If I send him an animal, he could shech. The Shaila is, he won't shech. I don't really think I would send a guy an animal. He's going, okay, you know, maybe we ought to shech the animal and eat it now. It's not reasonable. That's probably not what's going to happen. So in other words, Lamaisa, what I'm doing is sending something that is Bedafka going to be worked on after Yantar. It's not going to be worked on Yantar. So then again, so I'm engaged either in what appears to be something that shouldn't be done on Yantar, or it's Stam Uvda Dechol. Again, there's different ways of learning it, just like we saw earlier. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, we're not chayish. Like, send him whatever you want, and you can send him yenoi, shmonim, salatos, v'kitniyos. Avalo tvua. You can't send tvua which bechlau isn't roi. These things are roi if you're going to go to a lot of tircha. But tvua, you had to do the katisha yesterday. So you certainly can't send him tvua, because that's not gonna be eaten today. Rabbi Shimon matir b'tvua. Rabbi Shimon says, it's not true. It's correct to say that I won't do what I normally do for tvua today, but we just saw that there are ways. You could use a machteshes ktana, or you could take tvua, you could theoretically cook it up as it is in a pot and have one of these health meals or whatever. So there are people that eat this kind of thing. So that's also considered to be roi. So according to Beit Shammai, Shammai, it has to be mamish prepared. According to Beis Hillel, it has to be something that is, v'derech kol, would be prepared if you want to. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it's even something that is unlikely, but at least it's theoretically possible to be used. Tani Rabbi Yechiel, v'bavad shelo yaseno b'shura. Rabbi Yechiel says, it's all very nice, but if you, even in things that you're mutter to send, you cannot send as a group of people that are bringing something. Because then it really looks like you're taking things to market. What is so many people walking, carrying things, food, and this? It looks like you're engaged in business. Or the Ritva says, if you've got, we'll see, as sure as three people. We had that other places. So if you have three people, it looks like you've got a buyer and a seller and an agent. So Bedavka, it, Bedavka looks like Becca Chumemker. That was the norm. No, you're sending three people. See, the Gemara's going to ask. The Gemara's going to ask about this. So Tana, in the Brice, it says, Ein shura pchuta mishlusha b'nei adam. The word shura means three people. Boy, Ravashi, what does that mean? Tlasa gavri v'tlasa minem. Suppose you have three people, each one carrying something else. I mean, if they're carrying something else, so then it doesn't add up in somebody's mind necessarily as that they're going to market. They're carrying different things, which is a nice way of presenting a gift. If it's because of the amount that there is, then I understand. So what's the problem exactly? Is the problem the noise that this is making? Afsha, that is, you're drawing attention to it already, that we didn't want, and that would be the pashut pshat, three people, or is it because it's nearer k'mecher b'shuk? That's good for the question. Take, by the way, there's also a question, seems to be a question, because Rambam uses lashon mamish shura, shloshim b'nei adam zacher zeh, like a shura. Others learn shura is lav dafka, but shura means the three people coming together, because of the amount. Alright, I mean, that's certainly the, it could be the Rambam's just quoting the way the Mishnah uses the word, so take. In any event, we leave this with a take. Rabbi Shimon Matir Bitvua, Tanya Rabbi Shimon Matir Bitvua, why? Because look, I mean, chitim, you could always make ludios out of. Saorim, you could always feed to your animal. That's a shaila, by the way. We'll see later on, it's a machlokas. Rabbi Akiva holds, asher yaseh l'chol nefesh, includes behemah. Behemah is also called nefesh. So l'chol nefesh means that you could do tzarech l'chol nefesh of a behemah. According to which, you could certainly feed your animal saorim. So what would be the problem? And adashim lasot me'am resisim. So there were various, I mean, Rashi doesn't explain what precisely these foods were, but there were various foodstuffs that were prepared from raw grains, either from the chitim or from a raw kidney, it's from adashi, ludios and resisin, respectively. So even though that's not the normal usage of the things, but it's possible. The Mamela Chayak to use these things for yontif. The same thing would be if you're sending material. What are the material? Mishalkin kelim. So you could send now material, bein tefurin, bein sheina tefurin. It doesn't matter whether the kalim are now complete and they're sewed up or they're not sewed up. As a matter of fact, Alpha Bishesh Prem Kalayim, even if they were to be Kalayim, they're Litzarach HaMayit. The Gemara is going to say, what's Kalayim, Tzarach HaMayit? But as long as they're Litzarach HaMayit, they can be used on Yantan. Avalo Sandala Misuma, but you cannot send over spiked sneakers. Because after all, you're not allowed to play football. And no, that's not the reason. We'll see the mice show you anymore. So they ossered Bechlal wearing a sandal and masumer on Yontif because of a terrible tragedy that occurred by people wearing sandal masumers. But it was a real football scrimmage disaster. And on Yontif.
A ruck we call it rugby.
What do you call it?
Ruck. When you stumble got over.
Oh, in rugby, it's a ruck.
Yeah.
Okay.
You go with your foot into you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You make your enemy know it's
scrubbed.
I hear you. So, but it's interesting because it's mashma that even though you can't wear it, you can carry it. The only question over here is that it doesn't look like a gift for Yontif. It ought to be muktze mamish, that, right? That's what we're talking about. Yeah. So, okay, the Gemara is going to comment on this. Apparently, there's not a problem with muktze. Below minal sheno tafur, nor can you use a shoe that you haven't completed the tvir of the shoe. Rabbi Yudomer aflo minal lavan. Even if you had the completion of the leather work, but you didn't do yet the dyeing on the shoe, so it looks like a white shoe at this point. Raw leather, like tefillin look out, you know, before they're painted. So nobody uses that. So if that's the case, you're going to meet lechitzarach oman. I mean, in order to be able to wear it, you're going to need first to do the hashkara. To zeh klal. By the way, some bring a raya from here that the chalitza shoe can't be raw leather. You know, it needs to be finished. Zaklal koshnu timbo biyom tov mishachim. That anything that you could use on yontev neyutin is a lotion of making yourself look good. Leit kashet is linaot. So you're allowed to send. Yes, the Gemara. Look, I understand tfurim. You could use literally to wear, even if there ain't a tfurim. So at least I can use the material I can use to cover myself with. But what are you saying that even if they have kelayim, what good is kelayim? The kelayim lo ma'achosim. V'chitei mechozu lo me'el mechtutei. You'll say, no, even if it's kelayim, you could bend it and use it as a pillow or something. But Tanya, the Braisa says lo ya'ale alecha. The Torah says that begit kelayim shat is lo ya'ale alecha. It shouldn't go on top of you, right? So the mashma is that it could go beneath you. You could put it as a pillow under your head. Aval amru chachamim masur lasot kein. Even though it's mutter b'niraisa, you're not allowed to do that. Shema tichorech lo nimal b'saro, because there may be a loose thread, and that thread will end up being on top of you, and it'll end up being a diraisa. And so, therefore, it's aser. If that's the case, so then you can't use it as a pillow either. Lizem in rabbona. So then, why would they be matir sending it on yontif? V'chib meim the mafsik midi beni beni. If you're going to try to tell me, okay, so put on a pillowcase. Well, you have the pillow itself is killer. Use a pillowcase, it's not kilayim. There's no chashash then of the nima that will be nichrach on you. By the way, it's a very interesting Rashi who's masbir that the chashash of a nima is a rather odd thing. Because, I mean, what's one thread gonna, how is that shayach b'chalot to call that a beged? It's not, it doesn't really make any nafkamina to you in terms of having hanah from kilayim, and the yisr of kilayim is being nena from it on some level. So Rashi has two approaches. One is, maybe it's talking about like very thick, like maybe for a coat. So over there, it's enough that it'll actually make an afkamina. But another approach of Rashi is fascinating. He says, because since you're lying on this, you're already being nena from it. It's just that the Torah says, lo yala alecha. You're not supposed to be wearing it. So the moment you have the nima, even if it's a normal nima, so now you're surrounded by it. So that's already called wearing it. Even though the part that's on top of you is not the part that you're being nena from. But now it becomes like a beget. So the bottom part, I'll go to the afkamina if it's on top or bottom, once I'm wearing it. So according to that, it wouldn't only be a chashash of a thick nima. So maybe you'll say, says the Gemara, did you use a pillowcase? Amar Reb Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Reb Yeshua ben Levi, Amar Reb Yosef ben Shaul, Amar Rebbe, Mishum Kila Kadish, and Yerushalayim. We've got a lot of backing for this psak. Afilo Eser Matzaot, Zoaga Bezuv, Kilaim Tachpeim Osu, Lishon Aleim. I mean, this Kila Kadish, Yerushalayim, were like the princess and the bee. You got a little bit of Kilaim all the way in the bottom of your 10 mattresses. Ah! You don't get any sleep at all from Kilayim under you. So, I mean, but that means that Lamaisa, you can't even use a pillowcase. Ela de vilon. You know what? You could use it as a vilon. You know, too much light coming in through your window, ruining your yontabil. You can hang up the Kilayim over your window. Says the Gemara, wait a second. That's not supposing you can make a vilon out of Kilayim. V'yomar ula, mipnei ma amru vilon tameh. Why would it be a vilon be makabel tuma? Why isn't it just called like part of the building? Part of buildings on a Kabbal Tuma. Ah, Mipnei Shashamash Mitchamim Kinegda. See, when the butler is sitting there, as you've all noticed, we're not talking to the Johannesburg people over here, they in fact maybe notice, you know, but to us plebeians, you know. So if the Shamash is sitting waiting to serve you and it's a little bit chilly in the room, you know, you may like back up to the vilon a little bit and stay warm. So if that's the case, I mean, so why aren't we chayish? That'll be mischamim with kelayim. So it should be usher if that's the case. For the same reason that we say that it's makabel tuma, because it's a teras klialov, because it's used as a beget, so then it should be usher to make it out of kelayim also. Elabek kashim. It's talking about in the Mishnah, when it says even kelayim, it doesn't mean normal begonim of kelayim. It means like thick felt-like begonim, which are kelayim. We're over there, ki adi amrefuna, raider of Yeshua, that I namta gam. But they wear in Narish. So they wear this scarf that's made out of felt. And the material is hard material. It's like the modern felt hat. So that's not considered, that's Sharia. You know, Narish people wear that kind of stuff. So that's mutter because it's not really mechamim at all. It's not a regular beged. It's stiff. And it's stiff, so it doesn't fold against your body. So it doesn't really provide the type of hanah that kelayim generally are also in providing. Omer of Papa, by the same token, ardalayim, ein ben mishum kelayim. It's interesting that ardalayim, of course, became a modern Hebrew word for a waterproof, yeah, galoshes, right? And this was actually an early form of galoshes, where Rashi brings from the Ga'inim, that they used to have like a skin, huh? A tayash?
Oh, it's like a galosh.
Oh, galash tayash. So they would, and they would, it would be made out of tzemer, and also they would have a place where part of it was made of pishtan, absorbed like sweat and so on. But eimem mishum kelayim, because it's so stiff that it doesn't provide any type of chimum. Amar Rava, hani tzerori depshite. There were these little wallets, these little coin wallets, which were made out of kelayim, and you use it to put coins into. There's no problem of putting that into your pocket, even though lemaisa, that's warming the area where it is. Why? Because the coins that are inside cause the material to become very tough. And therefore, it's not mechamer. But the it's burning a hole in your pocket. The bizrani, but if it has, it's a little container for seeds, which also used to, the gardeners used to use to keep seeds in. So seeds don't cause a hardening in the material. So yesh ba mishum kilayim. Whereas Ravashi omer echad zeh v'echad zeh ein ba mishum kilayim. Lefishein derech chimum bekar. Neither of them are considered to be kilayim, because that's not the normal way in which a person is mischamim, holding a wallet in his pocket. Or others learn that he holds that the bizrani also caused sufficient hardening of the material that it's aimed at chimum because of the material, not because of the way that I'm putting it on. But anyway, those are issues that are more kelayim issues rather than beitzah. So there's not the standard on that. No, we didn't assert a non-standard on that. Starting Chazara Daf Yudal. Shami Omrim Tav Nidochim Madoch Shel Eitz VaMelach BePachu BeEitz HaParur or O BeEitz HaParur like Rashi's gears. Who Beisil Omrim Tav Nidochim Kedarke BeMadoch Shel Eved VaMelach BeMadoch Shel Eitz. Okay, but Kuli Amo Mias Melach BaYishino in my timer. Who never fits the Karo Mar Kolak Kederos Kolon Tzuchos Melach. Vein Kolak Kederos Tzuchos Tavli. VaKaro Mar Kolak Tavli Mefigin Ta'ama Melach Einam Befigat Ta'ama. So it could have been done yesterday. My Beinayu Ike Beinayu Diyada My Keder BaYilu Veshulei the next day. Or the other nafkamina, the other direction would be b'murika. That isn't mayfig, it's tam completely. Omer of Yerom HaShmur, kol ha-nidokhi nidokhi k'dark ha-nafilu melach. What? The Mishnah says melach boi shinui. No, who do you have a k'aytan? The Tanya Omer would be mayor. Lo nech laku beit shamayu beit yilel ha-nidokhi sh-nidokhi k'dark ha. As long as it's melach imahem. Shaila is, lo nech lelo l'ducha b'fnei ha-tzba. Over there, beit shami omri melach b'pach beit ha-parur. That's an only litzli, which is a little bit, aber lo l'kadero, b'sil omri b'chol davar. B'chol davar? Saka daitach, ele ima l'chol davar. Omer le revach ha-barda lo l'vrei, ki dayach tatzli ha-tzli ha-vado. Rib sheish ha-shom ha-kol buch, lo mer, well, I love me gavi de-beitoy. How does he know? Dilma tzli ha-tzli? No. Shami da-vi tzelo kala? V'dilma tavlin ha-vi? No. Tavlin nevuchim min ha-vei ha-kalai? Tana rabbonan ein osin tisni, ven kochi me-machtash. What? Tarte. Okay, come on. Ma tam, ein osin tisni, the fish ain't kochi me-machtash. Come on, so then just say ein kochi me-machtash. No, itani ein kochi me-machtash. Have a min ani me-machtash gedoyla, have a me-machtash gedoyla, have a me-machtash gedoyla, Kamash Mulan by saying it this way, that even a Machtash Kitana. Iva Tanya in Kochim Machtash Gdol of a Kochim Machtash Kitana, so you're wrong. Omra Abaya, you're right. Kitanya Ami Maslisa, Machtash Gdol, it's two different things. Tisne, even in a Machtash Kitana, everything else, only Machtash Gdol. Tanya Rava Amar, no, Kasha, Alon Valahu. Rav Papi Iklu Levi Marshmul Aisle Dice of Loacha. The Dilma Machtesh Kstana of Dua. The Chazir Avi Dayek Tve. So Dilma Miet Molotu. No, Chazir Avi Kolam Tziare. We by same as shiny be Marshmul Dike Pritzusa Diabde, which of course is where Rashi got his pshat, that was the whole Chash all along. The other Rishonim heard this is a different issue. That ain't Ochinami. In cases where you have to Chash Pritzusa, so we're Chayish even in Bava. Haber kitni is biyomtov beit shemay omrim borer ochel veochel ubeit hillel omrim borer kedarko becheko bekanan bekanun betamchui avolo betabel avolo benofa avolo bekevora Rabbi Gamliel omer af midiach v'shole Tanya omer Rabbi Gamliel ba medvar omrim kishaochel meruba al apsolet apsolet meruba al ochel everybody's borer dotel ato ochel ominiach at apsolet apsolet meruba al ochel miikaman deshari Latzvich l'nafish b'tircha v'zuter b'shiura. Rabbi Gamliel omer af midiach v'sholeh. Tanya omer Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadok. Kach haya min hagan shabet Rabbi Gamliel. Hoy mevi'in dli melei adashim. Mutzifim alav mayim. V'nimtza ochel amato psolot amala. Ay v'tanya ibrahim. Lo kasha b'afra b'gilim. Bet shamay omrim ein mishalchi b'yom tov el amanot. U'bet elel omrim mishalchi b'hema chay v'ov. Ben chayim, ben shchutim. Mishalchi nyenot, shmonim, sulatot, kikniot. Aval lo tvu'ah. Rabbi Shimon Mater betvua. Tani Rabbi Yechiel bevad shlo yasenu b'shura. Tana, ein shura p'chuta m'shlosha b'nei adam. Boy Ravashi, how about Tlata Gavri with Tlata different meaning? My, take it. Rabbi Shimon, Mati Betvua, Tani Rabbi Shimon, Mati Betvua, Kigon, Chitim Lasot Mem Ludiot, Sorim Litemefe Bemto, Adashim Lasot Mem Resisim, Mishachim, Kelim, Ben Tvurim, Ben Shenan Tvurim, Afabishesh Mem Kalayim, Ben Matzorach Amoy, Avalot Sandala Mesumar, Velo Minal Sheno Tafur, Rabbi Yudomer, Laflo Minal Lavan, Meshatzorach Oman, Meshashiro, Zakla, Koshen Eutan, Neotin Bobi Yom Tov, Mishachin Otov, Zipishle Betvurim, Chazal Malvash, Sheno Tvurim Amit, Chazal Kisuye, Ela Kilai, Lamai Chazal, Vikita Machazal Memach Tute, Vatanya Loya Alecha, Avalato Yocholot Yotach Techa, Aval, אמרו חכמים אסור לעשות כן, שמה תחרך לא נימה על בשורו. וכי תאמי יוזר פילו קייס ומאפסיק מיני בני בני. אמר רב שמעון בן פזי, אמר רב שמעון בן לוי, אמר רב יוסף בן שאול, אמר רבי, משום קילה קדישא בירושלים אפילו עשר מצות זו אגב זו, וכליים תחתיהם אסור לשון עליהם. אלא בווילון. לא, אמרו לה, מפני מה אמרו וילון טמא, מפני שהשמש מתחמם כנגדו? אלא בקשים. חיות אמר רב אונה ברי דרב יהושע. I namta gamta denarish sharia omer of papa by the same token are the lime elim in ben mishum kilai omarova ani tsrari de pshite in ben mishum kilai but bizrane are still soft and yesh ben mishum kilai ravashiyama echad zev echad zev in ben mishum kilai mufish in der chibum bekar.